things in this psalm. It's no wonder. It is a favorite of folks down through the ages. There are so many thoughts to meditate on, truths to take to heart. And I trust this evening will be no different for you. Once again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this time tonight. We thank you for the chance to look at your word. Once again, a familiar, well-known Psalm of David's. And it would be interesting to know the background. What kind of experiences were David going through when through the Holy Spirit you put this psalm on his heart? Whatever it is, Lord, how it has blessed multitudes throughout the ages. May your blessing be on it to our hearts tonight. Enable me to say what ought to be said, overlook what ought not to be said, and we'll commit this to you. In your name I pray, amen. All right, I even announced the title of this one this morning. Andrew, you weren't here to jot it down, but I've called this one Oil and Water. It was really hard to find a title like that, but anyway. Last week we saw in the beginning of verse 5, forgot, we haven't quoted it together, have we? Let's do that. Should have reminded me, Ian. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, last week we saw in the beginning of that fifth verse the ability of the shepherd to provide for the needs of and the security of the sheep in every situation, taking them safely through the valley of the shadow of death. And then we saw, after passing through the valley, the sheep speaks of, again, the capacity of the shepherd to prepare a table, set a banquet, so to speak, to set a table before the sheep, even though there are enemies present. Didn't matter. Sheep were not concerned because they knew they could trust the shepherd. And when they were content, didn't matter what might be around them, as long as they knew the shepherd was there to care for them, they were content. And that's a picture of the way it can be for those of us who truly do know the Lord as our shepherd, those of us who truly have placed our faith and trust in him. It doesn't matter what valley we might go through, what might be just around the corner, we can be content, we can be at peace in our hearts because we know the shepherd is there. As we return to the remaining portion of this verse, we see some other instances of the shepherd's care for the sheep. The first thing that we see him mention has to do with the oil. The oil. Thou anointest my head with oil. It's interesting to read the different authors that I am consulting for this series to see some of the direction the authors have gone with this concept of the anointing of the head with oil. For instance, let me share with you the instance of, let's see here, F.B. Meyer. He made mention of the fact that it was an Eastern custom, not thinking now about sheep per se, but it was an old Eastern custom whereby a host would welcome his guests into their home by anointing their heads with oil. Love and respect were conveyed by, get this, the costliness of the oil that was anointed on the head of the one who came to visit them in their home. The connection goes to Matthew chapter 26, verse 7, where it tells us this. Now, when Jesus, in verse 6 first, when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, Simon did not anoint his head, as a host who failed the custom. But verse 7, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat to eat. Now, when the disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, what was the purpose of this waste? It was a very costly ointment that this woman poured on his head. And the words of the disciples was, this ointment might have been sold much for much and given to the poor. The Lord responded to that. Remember, in what way? You've always got opportunity to do what for the poor? Meet their needs, give, help them out, and so on. But he made a special connection to this woman. And what did he say this signified? She was anointing his head for what? His burial. Yes, the Lord knew the significance of it, and he connected that with this old Eastern custom. I saw Kim look at her daughter, and I know what she's thinking. I wouldn't want somebody putting oil on my hair. Right, Kim? Did I read? That's what I thought I saw. Sometimes it's kind of nice that we don't have to deal with those customs, right? I don't have any oil for anybody to pour on my head, but anyway, that was that custom. In Scripture, oil we often see is used, some authors pointed out and made a lot of it, that oil in Scripture is a type of whom? The Holy Spirit, which we have all received. We receive the Holy Spirit when? The moment we what? Receive Him as our own, the Lord Jesus as our own Savior and Lord. And the Holy Spirit is operative in our life. And some authors even pointed out that though we have been anointed by the Holy Spirit at salvation, the Christian life is a continual need for the Holy Spirit each day, doing a fresh work in our heart and life. Not that He leaves us or we are forsaken, but the natural man cannot accomplish anything for the glory of the Lord, yes or no? The answer to that is no. If we're going to accomplish anything to the glory of the Lord, in whom and through whom do we accomplish it? The Holy Spirit. And, you know, sometimes we get ourselves out of fellowship, and we have to be brought back into fellowship so that the Holy Spirit can once again pour out His power in us, through us, as we labor for the Lord. Well, that's a direction that some of the authors took. But I thought as I was reading this, there were some other very interesting ones, and they were interesting to me, and I thought maybe the folks would be interested in hearing some of these other instances of the He anoints my head with oil, as this author shared his point of view on that. This one is Haddon Robinson in Trusting the Shepherd, Insights from Psalm 23. And he said, "I agree with Charles Sleming, who has studied the shepherds of the Middle East and who insists that this verse too pictured genuine shepherd life in Israel." And he said, when a shepherd enters a new field where he can feed his flock, he walks up and down the field, inspecting the ground closely. Number one, looking for grass that might actually be poisonous to the sheep. And there were those that grew that the shepherd would have to be on the lookout for, making sure his sheep did not eat those. He also searches, get this, Margot, the field for vipers. Those tiny brown adders live under the ground, and they pop out their small holes, and they would nip the noses of the sheep. Their bite is poisonous, and the inflammation of that little brown viper could actually kill a sheep. The shepherd protects the sheep in two ways. Number one, when he finds the viper's holes, he would take a bottle of thick oil from his girdle or his possessions, and then raking over the long grass with his staff, he would pour a circle of oil on the top of the viper's hole, any and every viper's hole that he could find. Secondly, as he leads the sheep into that field, he would anoint the head of each of his animals with that oil. Now get this. When the vipers would attempt to crawl out of their holes to bite the sheep, the oil kept them from being able to get out of their holes. The smooth bodies of the vipers could not pass over that slippery oil. And they are kept as prisoners inside their hole. But also, the oil on the sheep's head acted as a repellent. If a viper should get near a sheep, the smell of that oil drove the vipers away. Therefore, the sheep graze in the presence of their enemies. I thought that was kind of an interesting concept to think about, that, of how that you anoint my head with oil, and one of the thoughts connected with that. Philip Keller, who has written A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, he offered another thought with regard to his use of the oil and what it meant to him. And he didn't, and Philip Keller was a shepherd by trade. He grew up tending sheep, and many of the illustrations in his book goes back to his days of being a sheep herder. And Mr. Keller, as he came to this, "Thou anointest my head with oil," what came to his mind is the fact that in the summertime, his word is, summertime is fly time. Not that they got up and flew, but that there were flies in the pasture that bothered them. And he said, there are all kinds of parasites that trouble the stock and make their life miserable. He said there were things like the warble flies, the bot flies, the heel flies, nose or nasal flies, deer flies, black flies, mosquitoes, gnats, and other tiny winged parasites that proliferate at this time of the year. Their attacks on animals can readily turn the golden summer months into a time of torture for sheep and drive them almost to distraction. And then he tells the story that sheep are especially bothered by the nose or the nasal fly, as it is sometimes called. Now this gets a little gross, so hang on, girls, here. A little bit gross. When you think about nasal cavities and things like this. You know, you just kind of want to check out, but hang in there. These little flies buzz around the sheep's head, attempting to deposit their eggs on the moist mucous membranes of the sheep's nose. Nice. If they are successful, the eggs will hatch in a few days to form a small, slender, worm-like larva in their nasal cavity. They work their way up the nasal passages into the sheep's head. They burrow into the flesh, and there they set up what proves to be an intense irritation, accompanied by severe inflammation. For relief from this agonizing annoyance, the sheep, get this, sometimes will deliberately beat their heads against trees, rocks, fence posts, or brush. They will rub their heads in the soil and thrash around against any woody growth. And in extreme cases, a sheep might even kill itself in a frenzied endeavor to get free from the aggravation. And we find that because of this, sometimes the infection of those flies can result in blindness to the shepherd's sheep. Because of this, the nose fly hovers around the flock, and sometimes the sheep become frantic with fear in an attempt to escape their tormentors. They will stamp their feet erratically. They will race from place to place in the pasture, trying to elude the flies. Sometimes they run so much they drop from sheer exhaustion. Other sheep will toss their heads up and down for hours. They will hide in any bush or woodland that offers shelter. As we think about this, what can the shepherd do? He has something to help, and he anoints their head at this fly time. And at the very first sign of the flies among the flock, Mr. Keller said they would apply a homemade remedy composed of linseed oil, sulfur, and tar, which was smeared over the sheep's nose and head as a protection against the nose flies. And once that oil ointment had been applied, it would bring about a total change in the demeanor of the sheep in the shepherd's pasture because of the relief that it brought. Another author suggested in the springtime, when mating time comes around, the rams are usually trying to establish domination in the pasture. And it is not uncommon for the rams to begin to stretch their muscles, and kind of like the bucks in the white-tailed deer family. In the fall, when the rut is on, what are the bucks known to do, and what do rams do? How do they establish their dominance? By what? But fighting how? They ram their heads together. And the one that can ram the hardest, what? Wins the does. And some shepherds, in order to prevent their rams from harming themselves, knowing this annual ritual, they actually smear a slick oil. They anoint the head of the ram with much slick oil so that as the rams engage in battle, what starts happening? They're slipping off. They can't make contact like they wanted to. And so it's another means of protection for them. But there was another very important use of anointing the oil on the heads of sheep. And we haven't said that, we haven't made any mention of it, but can you think of another reason why the shepherd would anoint his sheep with oil? Remember the Lord's parable of the man that was on his way to town and he fell among thieves? He was laying on the road, and there were a couple of religious leaders that saw him laying on the road, and what did they do? They walked all around him, but a Samaritan, a nobody, you know, somebody from the other side of the tracks, he saw him laying there, and he took him in, and he anointed, he cleaned him up from the damage that he and the harm that he had received, and he poured oil on the wounds, antiseptic oil, and he took him to a motel, so to speak, and he told the owner, here's some money to take care of him, keep treating his wounds with the ointment I've left. And if there is any more bill the next time I come by, I will pay it. The other use of the oil, which was very significant for the shepherd on the head of his sheep, was it was placed there at times when injury had occurred and there was damage done. And if you don't treat it with antiseptic or something, what might set in? Infection. And this was a very important use for the shepherd. We find here, Elmer Towns says, the first thing in the mind of a sheep after they leave a dark, threatening valley is their appetite and thirst. After the shepherd has seen to those needs, he has another concern. He examines the wounds of those animals. He knows that if impurities are not washed away, a wound will get infected. He also knows that oil will speed the healing process. So while the sheep are busy eating in the pasture, the shepherd would be busy walking around his sheep, looking for wounds on them, and each wound was carefully washed and oil placed in, and then the healing could begin. The shepherd also knows, though, that the oil is more than just cleansing. He knows that it feels good to the sheep. They like it. Left unattended, and the sheep's wounds will burn, they will itch, and they will sting. But if the loving shepherd would anoint with oil, there would be comfort and relief for their healing and satisfaction. Well, we've got about 12 minutes or 10 minutes left here. Let's go to the next thing that we see. We see here the next thing that the psalmist mentions, not only that you anoint my head with oil, but you do what for me? He says, my cup is what? Full. Right? Is that what yours says? Your cup is what? Running over. As we think of this, we find that some authors have suggested that sometimes in Scripture, what's this cup referring to? My cup runneth over. Is it only referring to a drinking vessel, or does it mean something else sometimes in Scripture? And some we discover sometimes in Scripture, the use of the word cup refers to God's will for and the experiences of one's life. God's will for them and what experiences he may have willed for them. What do you mean? I take you back to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26 in verse 39. In the Garden of Gethsemane, moments, hours, whichever the case, before Judas showed up with the guards in the garden to betray him and ultimately be carried away, Jesus did what? He prayed. And his prayer in that garden of Gethsemane had some very significant words. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 38, then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this what? Cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, Father, but as you will. Verse 42, he went away again the second time, and he prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. In John chapter 18, a very familiar portion, in the garden, remember when the soldiers came and Jesus said, who are you looking for? We're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. And he answered, that's me. And when they began to approach him, Simon Peter, verse 10 of John 18, having a sword, drew it, smote the high priest's servant, cut off his right ear, and the servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? So sometimes in Scripture, we see that cup can refer to God's will for someone and the experiences God has in their life in connection with that cup. But other places we find, and that's what I think it is here, it can refer figuratively to the spiritual blessings God brings to us. We found earlier in this psalm how that he leads me beside the still waters in verse 2. But as the psalmist continues on, and he speaks of the things that the shepherd is doing for him to prepare, to protect and care for him, he, in this little phrase, he is indicating how much the shepherd is blessing his life. He just hasn't, he didn't just fill up my cup. That would have been great. But he is blessing me so much that actually I can't even hold or contain all the blessings that my shepherd is bestowing upon me. In Ephesians chapter 4, notice what Paul had to say with regards to the spiritual blessings that are yours and mine of the Lord. Ephesians 4, we start at verse 1 when he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. I'm sorry, I gave you the wrong reference. Note takers, scratch out Ephesians 4 and put Ephesians 1. I was asking myself, how come this is not reading like I thought it should? Ephesians 1, 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. As I read these 14 verses, listen to what God has done for you and me as a child of His. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who what? Hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, according to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Here's something else, whereby he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, what's he going to do? Gather together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Here's something else, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. Why? Why? that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom also ye trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after you believed, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And that Holy Spirit is what, verse 14, the earnest of our inheritance. What's another name for earnest? The down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. What a beautiful portion of Scripture to demonstrate to us the truth of the psalmist when he said, my cup runneth over. He has blessed you and me, beloved, as children of his, more than we can contain, hasn't he? Once again, the psalmist assures us of our Lord's constant care, provision, and protection. Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer. Father, thank you for the time tonight. I trust that these human illustrations, these scriptural examples, will be what we've needed to bring healing, comfort, assurance, where it is needed in anyone's heart, Lord. How good you are to us, how you care for us, how you are always there for whatever we face, just like the shepherds of old. Dismiss us with your blessing on us. We thank you in your name, Lord. Amen. And you are dismissed.